This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Georgia-based musician, philanthropist, model, graphic designer, and artistic powerhouse Dara Carter is back in Southwest Florida and joins us today to perform live in studio. Carter is a lifelong musician whose musical training is rooted in the classical and jazz styles. However, her solo work has evolved and developed into a form all her own that defies convention and compartmentalization into a particular genre. Carter first appeared on Gulf Coast Live this past spring, along with fellow members of the all-black women rock band The Tulips, and plans are in the works for the Bring the Tulips Back on the show. That's going to be in the near future, so we're all looking forward to that as well. Carter has played shows at venues all over the country, including two performances at the historic Apollo Theater in New York when she was just 15 years old. Other notable performance venues include Harvard University and a performance for former President Barack Obama at the White House. Dara Carter's endeavors extend beyond music into philanthropy and social activism, with a particular emphasis on anti-bullying. Carter also emphasizes a goal of, as her bio reads, quote, bringing a shift to mindfulness in this world. She also curates a Facebook page called The Mindfulness Addict. In addition, Carter creates many of the graphics and logos used to promote her music and her work as she studied graphic design at Boston University. Dara will be the featured performer tonight at Howe Gallery here in Fort Myers. Her debut album, The Gemini, dropped in 2017 and is now available through Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and SoundCloud, or through her website, daracarter.com. There's also a new album in the works. Dara Carter, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And Dara will be accompanied today by percussionist Pete Flower from the Southwest Florida-based punk band The Young Dead. And in the interest of full disclosure, Pete joined the WGCU team here earlier this summer. Pete Flower, welcome to Gulf Coast Live, and thanks so much for lending us your musical talents as well.
Thank you for having me.
And unfortunately, due to national news events beyond our control, today's performances on the show are performed live, but the show is not being broadcast live, so we won't be taking calls. However, listeners can still connect with the show. Join the conversation on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And before we get into the conversation, let's just go ahead and begin with a song. Doris, before you play, tell us what we're going to hear and say a little about it by way of introduction.
Okay, so I'm going to do a few songs that I wrote myself, but also a few covers, things that you all might know at home. The one I'm going to start with, I'm pretty sure everybody knows. So this is by Alicia Keys. It's If I Ain't Got You. Some people live for the fortune. Some people live just for the fame. Some people live for the power, yeah, yeah. Some people live just to play the game. Some people think that the physical things define what's within. And I've been there before, and that life's a bore, so full of the superficial. And some people want it all, but I don't want nothing. Need 36 roses.
that's the only way to prove you love me. Hand me the world on a silver platter, and what good would it be with no one to share and no one who truly cares for me? And some people want it all, but I don't want nothing at all. If I ain't got you, yeah. If I ain't got you with me, baby, this ain't nothing in this.
Amazing. Our guest today is Dara Carter, and we just heard her performing Alicia Keys' song, If I Ain't Got You. That was amazing. Thank you so much. She joins us in studio ahead of her performance tonight at the Howe Gallery here in Fort Myers. And I just mentioned in my introduction that your music kind of tends to defy classification and convention, but if you had to describe it, how would you describe your style?
So I call it genre free. So that I don't box myself in. But my voice is soulful, as you can hear.
Oh, yeah.
I do say it has soul elements. When I create, when I produce, I like to bring in a cinematic vibe. I like for my music to encompass you. And, you know, if you listen to the album, you'll see there's always a lot of atmospheric sound going on in the background. So yeah, cinematic soul, you know,
All right. Maybe
something like that, yeah.
Let's go ahead and go back to the beginning. Your formal introduction to music started with piano lessons when you were just 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Can I read into that something maybe about your family? Do you come from a particularly musical family? Because that's very early to start.
Right. So I'm very thankful to my parents because they put me into a lot of activities when I was young to make sure that I can find my passion early in life. So I was running track, I was swimming, I was doing piano, I was, you know, doing so many activities, and piano stuck with me. I started at three. My siblings, they're all older than me. They started before me. So I know by the time I turned three, I was already ready to get started. But yeah, it was just, I don't particularly come from a musical family. My dad plays a little bit of bass here and there, but they just wanted to put me into an activity that would keep me grounded, keep me disciplined, and it just turned out to become a passion of mine.
So, yeah. Did you take to it right away? Because I know my parents started me on piano at age six, and I could barely sit still through a lesson at first. It took a while.
I did. I think because I had my siblings before me learning and I was anticipating that and getting excited about starting to learn the keys myself. I took to it quickly. It's funny because I'm classically trained, meaning I was trained to read sheet music, but my instructor, she used to play songs for me before I was to go home and learn them. And I would actually go home and learn them by ear, and I wouldn't I wouldn't learn the sheet music. So I think she found that out by playing it for me in the wrong key, and I came back and played it in the wrong key, and so she figured out I wasn't reading the sheet music. So yeah, I've always had a knack for music from the beginning. It came very naturally to me as soon as I started my lessons. Just went off from there.
Well, and of course, you know, the ability to play by ear like that is so fundamental to jazz. I'm wondering when that came into the picture for you.
Okay, so jazz came into the picture about when I was about 11 years old. I started taking going to jazz camps at Clark Atlanta University under Professor Patterson there. And man,
going from classical to to jazz, it's a whole different world. I mean, you go from reading off sheet music, rehearsing the note, everything's very technical, to, hey, just improvised. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's that mean? Like, what am I supposed to do? Where's my music? Like, where's the notes? But it's, so you go from a very structured form of music to a very free form sort of music. And that transition for me was very tough at first, because I was like, I can't just play what comes to the top of my head. I have to have a sheet, you know, music in front of me. But after a while, I started to understand the art form that jazz is, and find the beauty in being able to just express yourself on the spot from the soul, versus, you know, reading sheet music and being very technical with the music.
You know, and, you know, getting over that whole hump of not having the sheet music and being improvisational. I mean, did you find that having the classical training as a foundation really helped you be able to improvise?
Absolutely, yes. So I would say that the classical training gave me the foundation and the technical skill. And then the jazz training gave me the understanding that I can paint and color over those structures. So now when I write music or I go perform, I understand that there's a structure to follow, but then I'm able to be free on top of that. So I feel like the being able to merge those two styles together really helps me as an artist.
And of course, before, you know, getting into jazz, you had already begun singing and writing your own music.
Yes, absolutely. I started singing around 4 years old, and my piano teacher tried her best to get me to play and sing at recitals, but I was too shy back then. But around 8, I started writing music. I started writing songs that just, honestly, at my age at that time, I don't understand how I even wrote music like that. I was writing about homelessness and a lot of issues that were going on that some reason I was tapping into. And yeah, started that around 8, and then started performing around the city at about 12 years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is just like the audio file in me, but I'm wondering if there's any recordings of some of those early songs that still exist somewhere.
There are. My father, he keeps them all in a vault. And yeah, we have a lot of old footage from back then. Yeah.
Well, we have some of that. I'm kidding. No.
Oh, I was like, no.
But let's go ahead and hear you play our second song today on the show. And again, tell us what we're going to hear and tell us a little about it.
Okay. So this next song is called King of Hearts. It's a song I wrote, I believe I was about 14 or 13 years old when I wrote this one. It's a little more jazzy than the rest of my music. But yeah, King of Hearts. This is it.
Live or die, you better save me from this fire. I want to love again. To play the cards, you better be the king of hearts. All that's acceptable. You gotta be ready to follow me to my dreams anytime. You gotta walk just what you talk. No games, no excuses. And these are quite simple things, the keys to me. It's all I ask, all I require, all I wish to see. Or believe me, I'll go sailing on by. Believe me, I'll go sailing on by. Mm. I've seen many people and I've been many places. It's the same old thing, same conniving, smiling faces. So tell me why I should believe you. Is it lies or is your smile real? You cannot steal. You gotta earn it. And these are quite simple things, the keys to me. It's all I ask, all I require, all I wish to see or believe.
We have Dara Carter in studio today. That was the Atlanta-based musician's song King of Hearts, and she will be the featured performer at the Howl Jam Night at Howl Gallery here in Fort Myers. And once again, due to national news beyond our control, what you're hearing was recorded live today but is not being broadcast live, so we won't be able to take calls, but please still connect with the show via social media. You can do that on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Dara, I've got to say, when I think my jaw about hit the floor the first time I read that at just 15 years old, you performed at the Apollo Theater. Tell me the story about how that came about.
So my dad and I found out that they were holding auditions in Atlanta, and we just showed up. There was a line wrapped around the building. I believe it was the Rialto Center. And we waited for hours. I went in and I auditioned, and they let me know in a few weeks that they had selected me to fly up to New York to perform at the Apollo Theater for Amateur Night. And it was an amazing experience. It was crazy because I actually, the day that I flew up there, I got laryngitis and I couldn't even talk on the plane up. I'm freaking out because, like, you know, I have to sing that same night. But when we got there, someone gave me some throat coat tea, and it just, my voice cleared up. I mean, it was the universe or whatever. It was just beautiful how it worked out. I ended up the first night getting third place, I believe, which means I was able to come back for the second time.
Nice.
A few months later, and repeated the whole process. It was amazing. It was one of the most magical experiences of my life, you know, walking out on a stage like that, you know, being able to rub the, there's a, like a tree stump or something everyone rubs before they go out. It was cool. Like, you know, just feeling that myself being in a legendary space. It was great. It was a wonderful opportunity.
Right. I mean, this is the same stage where, I mean, such greats have performed as, you know, Bessie Smith, Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, Aretha Franklin, Otis Redding. I mean, do you feel the weight of that?
Yes. And, you know, on the stage, you can feel that energy. I mean, it's as if everyone's who has ever been there is still up there. It's so electric.
Yeah. Well, and while we're on the subject of, you know, potentially nerve-wracking performances, you performed for then-President Obama at the White House.
Yes.
I got to hear this story.
So this actually was, I was with a group of girls at the time. We were up in Washington, D.C. for Girls Nation, which is a program that I did. And we had the honor to be able to go to the White House and perform for then President Barack Obama at the time. It actually was the day that the they were voting on, I think, the government shutting down. So he was very stressed out that day. And he told, you know, the people we were with later on that, you know, we had really brightened up his day. So that was an amazing experience. I mean, seeing him in person was like seeing someone, a hologram of someone from the television, like walking into the room. It was great. Again, great energy. And I'm extremely thankful for that opportunity, you know, being able to use my voice for something like that.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Well, let's delve a little bit into your approach when it comes to writing music. I'm wondering if you take like the disciplined approach of like setting aside time to write, or if usually that kind of creation comes just when the inspiration strikes.
Yeah, I've tried to set aside time. I've tried that route. For me, it doesn't work that way. For me, it has to be natural, on the spot. Usually, when I write songs, they usually come out after I've sat in a dark room for hours just playing the piano and just singing, and something will just come forth, will pour out of me. So I don't particularly write lyrics first or melody first or anything. It just kind of all comes out at the same time. Huh. I have constructed some songs on purpose and, you know, really sat. I've done that before. But I would say my best material just comes out usually after I've just been messing around in the dark on the keys. So it's a very spiritual experience for me, songwriting.
Yeah. How does that work? Because I've noticed on your album, there's a few different songs on there where you collaborate with other artists. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's something that comes after you've written the song, mm-hmm. or if you sometimes write music together.
Mm-hmm. For the songs on the album, I wrote them first. And then once I got in the studio and started working with the production, I would say, okay, this sounds like it needs to have a rapper in this space. And then would think to, you know, who would sound good here. And that's how I would add people in. Yeah. So I would originally write the song and then see that someone else needs to be on it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song and tell us what we'll hear.
All right. So this is another cover. This is from one of my favorite bands, Civil Twilight. It's called Letters from the Sky.
One of these days the sky's gonna break and everything will escape, and I'll know. One of these days the mountains are gonna fall into the sea, and they'll know. For this, and I was made to taste your kiss. We were made to never fall away. Never fall away. Never fall away. Letters are gonna fall into the sea, telling us all to go free. But until that day, I'll find a way to let everybody know that you're coming back. You're coming back for me. 'Cause even those planes overhead, and we don't have to be
was musician Dara Carter performing her cover of Letters from the Sky. I'm sorry. From the band Civil Twilight, which, thank you, a new band I need to go look into that I didn't know of before. Dara was accompanied by Pete Flower, who is literally and figuratively on the djembe, and he is with the Southwest Florida band The Young Dead. And, of course, Dara is going to be performing tonight at Howe Gallery here in Fort Myers. You know, your musical talent seems, you know, firmly rooted in vocals and piano, you know, keyboard. I'm wondering if you've picked up any other instruments along the way.
So I used to play flute.
Really?
Yes. Mm. And I definitely want to get back to that. I think that would be great. Also, I'm working on guitar at the moment. So I found that it's much harder to learn instruments in like as an adult than it is as a child. So the guitar is taking a bit longer than I would have hoped, but I definitely want to master that at some point. Also, I'm interested in violin as well. I have not picked one up yet, but I do think at some point I will go there. One of my biggest goals is to become a film scorer, film composer. And so I have the knowledge of a lot of the string instruments and those sort of instruments, but I would love to be able to play them as well. So,
all right,
that is a goal.
Well, tell me a bit about your experience in the studio. You know, we have the Gemini now under your belt. I understand there's going to be a new studio album in the works. And I guess the reason I ask is because I get mixed reactions from musicians. Like, some people tell me, you know, they really prefer being able to, like, you know, feed off the energy of a crowd and a live performance and kind of find the studio experience maybe a bit tedious. But given that cinematic element to your album and the way you've described kind of being in a dark room and figuring stuff out, you seem like the kind of person who would relish that sort of studio time.
Yes. So it's all about the energy and the vibe. I've been in a lot of studio settings where I don't really feel comfortable. You know, I don't feel that I could produce an authentic sound. I am used to creating on my own. I've done that all my life. So when I do find a studio setting where I feel comfortable and I feel the energy's right, it's a wonderful experience. The producer that helped me work on my album that I co-produced with, his name is Professor X. His energy, I can really feed off of him, and we feed off of each other. So yes, in situations like that, I mean, I love being in the studio. It's amazing. Do I prefer it to live? I don't know. It's a whole different space. Yes, there's something about being able to feed off the crowd that you obviously cannot get in the studio. They're different spaces, but it's all about the energy I feel. I think that's what art is all about, you know, the energy. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything you can tell us about the new album at this point? Maybe an anticipated drop date or anything? Or are we going to keep that under wraps for now?
So, yeah, I'm going to keep the drop date under wraps for now. Not because I'm trying to be secretive, really, because, you know, processes like
change.
This. Right, exactly. I don't want to promise anything and then, you know, not deliver. But it's definitely going to be next year. And I'm starting that process now, and it's been fun so far. We're following the journey, so you'll be able to see a lot of the content of the process and the behind the scenes. I'm really trying to log that so people can understand the process of it and see what it takes to make an album. You know, it takes a lot of time, energy, patience, practice, sacrifices, money. Yeah. But in the end, I know it's going to be, it's worth it. I know that from the first album, and I know that the second album is going to be even more grand. So yeah, it's an exciting process, and I can't wait to be done and able to give it to the world.
All right. Yeah. And I've mentioned a couple of times, of course, you're going to be the featured performer at the Howl Jam Night tonight. You're a long way from Atlanta, though. Mm-hmm. What's the journey been like getting down here? Have you been playing along the way?
Yeah, getting down here was pretty fun. it was supposed to be 8 hours, turned into 13. the tire blew out, and we had to stop a lot of times. But, you know, I'm in the company of great people, and we just, you know, we had a good time coming down. I always love being on the road, going into cities that I don't live in. Florida's always great and welcoming to me, so it's cool. I like being down here. It was a cool journey.
And aside from tonight's show, are folks here in the Southwest Florida area gonna get a chance to hear you perform live before you head back up?
Not before I head back up, but I will be back down here for the Tiny House Festival in November.
All right.
And you can find me. It's not in Fort Myers. It's actually, I believe, in St. Augustine. But, you know, if you want to make that drive, I'm not sure how far it is, you can find me there.
All right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song.
Okay. So this next one is on my album, The Gemini, and it's one of my personal favorites. It's called Try Again.
Quickly turned to gray. Didn't I love you enough? Didn't I show you thanks? And how can you think that I cannot see that you're giving up on me? Telling me the whole time this is a good thing, while you're steady walking away from me. Oh, oh, oh. I need you to love me. I need you to show me you care. I need you to listen when summer air, growing colder and colder. Now I'm looking back, I see nothing but air over my shoulder. And how can you think that I cannot see that you're giving up on me? Telling me the whole time this is a good thing, while you're steady walking away from me. Oh, oh, I need you to love me. I need you to show. show me you care. I need you to listen when I talk and walk when I walk, and maybe we can try this again. I need you to love me. I need you to show me you care. I need you to listen when
Carter is performing live in studio for our show today. That was her song Try Again from her debut album, The Gemini. And we heard Pete Flower playing accompaniment on the djembe. Dara, beautiful, beautiful songs.
Thank you so much.
Let's go ahead and talk a bit about your philanthropy interest. You're looking to give back through anti-bullying efforts. Mm-hmm. Why that particular issue?
I feel like bullying has become a health issue at this point. A lot of people are taking their lives. And I say people because it's not just young people. There is bullying that goes on in the adult, you know, world as well. And I do like to focus, though, on school settings, because I do believe things like that start at that age. I feel like the issue is the lack of awareness. I feel like people don't understand all of the forms that bullying comes in. So a lot of people can be can bully others without even knowing that they do. So one thing that I did as a senior in high school, I created a program called SCAB, Schools Against Bullying. And basically it's a week-long awareness program in school, kind of like Red Ribbon Week, where you have activities all week that teach the kids what bullying is, what causes it, how to prevent it, other ways of communicating other than bullying, and in a way that's fun, where they can get involved in the activities with pep rallies and even assemblies. And so it's a week-long program I created and actually implemented into my school my senior year. And it's something that I want to revamp and start pushing into school systems. Over the years, I have, because of music, I've had to pull away a bit. But at this point in time, I'm definitely ready to revamp that project and see if we can get it into schools so that we can, you know, solve this issue
Were you personally a target of bullying at any point in your life in a significant way, or was it just more just something that you witnessed and just saw a lot of complicity, like maybe not even necessarily other people joining in but not doing anything about it?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely did face bullying in school and a lot about my weight. People think that if you're skinny, that it doesn't really hurt you if you say things like you're anorexic, or, you know, you're going to disappear if you fall, turn to the side, just things like that. You know, when you're young, statements like that can really affect you. So, yes, I was bullied throughout middle school, some in high school. But I also realized as I got older that there were ways in which I had been a bully and didn't even recognize it. Mm. And that's why I say awareness is important, because you really don't know sometimes how you're affecting other people. And while one person can be bullied, on the flip side, they can also bully someone else. So, I think it's really important for us to understand the different faces that bullying has, and to ask ourselves, have I bullied someone before? Am I bullying someone at this point in my life? And, I've been on both sides, and I think most people have at some point in their life.
Now, that self-awareness you just touched on, mm-hmm. I mean, does that feed into, I guess, the emphasis you place on fostering mindfulness? I was hoping you could talk about that.
Yeah. Yes. Mindfulness is oh so important, especially now in the time, day, and age of social media, and just everyone's so busy. Our brains are always going. Practicing mindfulness is essential to our health. Yeah. Whether it's yoga, meditation, whether it's just sitting and learning how to focus or go within yourself and practicing self-realization, it's so important to have a mindfulness practice, or else it can lead to a lot of psychological issues. It can lead to a lot of issues. I mean, mindfulness is, I can't even stress how important it is, you know, of a practice. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring awareness to the importance of mindfulness and letting people understand what it is as a lifestyle, and as what practices that they can do to keep themselves centered and grounded, you know, as they go and do whatever they do in their daily lives.
Are there things you do in your life to keep yourself mindful?
Yes. I meditate 30 minutes every day. I try to do it twice, once in the morning and evening. I also, I'll take walks. There's a lot of things you can do. It's really about just whatever works for you. For me, taking walks, communing with nature, meditating, that's the sort of things that I like to do. Yeah.
And I can tell it's a big emphasis for you. I mean, you curate a page, The Mindfulness Addict. Mm-hmm. You know, just full of like some great kind of, you know, that type of wisdom that just seems like it was writ by time itself, mm-hmm. or, you know, things along those lines. I was just looking through that page earlier today and going like, man, there's a lot I could take from this.
Yes. And I'm actually relaunching it in January. It fell off for a bit.
Sure.
But I'm creating some more content now and relaunching in January. So yeah, the Mindfulness Addict page will be up. It'll be a YouTube page, a podcast, an Instagram page, and a Facebook page. So you can go there to find mindful ways to budget your money, mindful ways to create space in your home. There's just a lot of different things that I'm going to be discussing in that page, on that page.
Is this a concept you tackle directly with your music, or maybe is that more of an indirect link?
Yes, there definitely is a link between the Mindfulness Addict and my music. My music, if you listen to the first album, it's very introspective and conscious. I really emphasize looking within yourself and healing through the traumas that you might have had, or whatever it is inside of you that that's keeping you off center. My music is very much about healing those things within yourself. Sometimes it's subtle, but ultimately, that's the overall message of my music, to be conscious of who you are, what's within, and how to heal yourself and be the best, like be the most grounded, the most wholesome person that you can be. That's what it's all about.
Well, on that note, let's go ahead and hear another song.
Okay. This is also off of my album. It is called Control. Control.
Songs of silent truth live inside of you. Tell me what it is, but don't look me in my eyes. Oh, I cannot believe I'm thinking about the days. Oh, I'm so ashamed. Don't you look me in my eyes. Oh, I am not the one to do this. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Thank you, Dara Carter. That was her song Control, which is off of her debut album, The Gemini. And I just have to say, I'm so glad you chose that song. I've been listening to the whole album on heavy rotation the last few weeks. That's the one, like, I sing in the shower and when I'm in the car by myself. I love that song. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Also, Pete Flower accompanying her on the cajon. I'm sorry, I inadvertently referred to it as a djembe earlier. But Pete is, of course, with the Southwest Florida-based punk band, The Young Deb. And you can catch Dara performing tonight. She's going to be the featured performer at the Howl Jam Night at Howl Gallery here in Fort Myers. And again, because of news events beyond our control, what you're hearing was recorded live live, but it's not being broadcast live, so we can't take calls, but listeners can still connect with the show via social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And, you know, given your musical passion and, you know, your obvious ability, I was kind of surprised that you studied graphic design at Boston University. I just would have assumed you'd, like, go for a music performance degree. Tell me about, you know, the visual arts for you.
So I've actually been a visual artist since I was young as well. I used to do oil paintings, and I actually had the beautiful, wonderful opportunity to be chosen as one of the top 10 youth artists in Atlanta by Frank Ski. He's a radio personality in Atlanta, and he took us over to Italy, the top 10 artists, and we had about a week and a half's worth of amazing art experiences, and it changed my life. And so since then, I've been, you know, I've been doing music primarily, but in the background, I've still been a visual artist. And I figured that graphic design would be a really good backup for my music. I can make my own flyers, my logo, I created myself. And also, being amongst other musicians, I could do the same for them. So I thought it was a good supplementary sort of thing to study.
Absolutely.
Now, at the same time, I do wish I did go into music production, and I'm actually looking to get a film score degree pretty soon. So, yes, I will be studying music.
And on top of that, if that's not enough, also modeling. I mean, there's some really striking shots on your website, DaraCarter.com. How did that come about, and what's in the works there?
So the modeling, I guess, is a byproduct of the music. You know, as a musician, I have to take a lot of pictures to put on social media. And I guess it's just something that just happened, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something I was pursuing initially, but I do enjoy it. And I do plan to pursue that in the future, too, just alongside my music. I want to do, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. I want to just keep those things together and
absolutely. Yeah. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, when you're not performing solo, you've also performed with your band, The Tulips. Tell me about how you came together with Gabriella Logan and the other ladies in the band.
So The Tulips Band, we are all Black woman rock band. And they started well before I became a member, but about almost a year ago now, Gabriella called me and asked me if I could do a gig with them in New York, and I was free. I said, yeah, you know, I'll come play keyboard. And ever since then, I've just been doing all the gigs with them, and became their keyboardist. So it's been a great experience. Rock is definitely a whole different experience. I listened to rock growing up, but like I never performed it live until I got into the band. So it's a whole different form of expression, and it's been great so far. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, and I've personally gotten to enjoy witnessing, you know, audiences react to The Tulips, you know, just high energy sound. It's great music. But you know, when four Black women get up on a stage, I think culturally, they, generally speaking, audiences have sort of been conditioned not to expect rock music.
Right.
Just tell me about that experience. I mean, do you kind of see that realization come over people's faces? Like, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yes, and that's one of the most fun parts about it. It's cool seeing the reactions. You know, the genre of rock, Black people have played a big role in the genre from its inception. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that, and they don't expect it at all. So we are, as a group, we are pretty much breaking some stereotypes, and it's always fun to watch, you know, some the people in the crowd kind of, oh wow, like I didn't know this was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, speak to us after about it. That is the whole point. And so yes, those sort of reactions always are very welcoming and cool to receive.
All right, well, we've got time for about one more song here, but first I just want to say thank you so much to our guest. We've been speaking with and hearing live music performed by the Georgia-based musician, philanthropist, model, and graphic designer, Dara Carter. Her album, The Gemini, is out now and available on Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon Music, SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course through her website, daracarter.com. She'll be the featured performer at tonight's How Jam Night, hosted by Frankie Colt at the How Gallery in Fort Myers. And tonight's show will also include a burlesque performance by Southwest Florida's own Freckles Galore. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there. We're all going to be there. You should show up. Dara Carter, thanks so much for coming by and sharing your music and your insights with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Also, thanks to Pete Flower. He's been with us accompanying Dara. Pete's the drummer for the Southwest Florida-based punk band The Young Dead, and he's one of the newest members of the family here at WGCU Public Media. Thanks, Pete. And our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And Dara, please take us out.
Okay. This is called Same Sky. The sky over you, same sky over me, over land, over city, over sea. And we all yearn for peace, and that's something we can achieve. But first we must take our chance to speak, 'cause we are the people. From the cities, take your own stand.
the fields, move the mountains on which we stand. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, we are the people. This is our chance. From the halls, from the hills, from the cities, take your own stand. 'Cause we are the people. It's in our hands to move the streets, move the fields, move the mountains on which we stand. We can.